The Bengals released Alex Kappa on Monday, and he is absolutely one of the biggest what-ifs of the Joe Burrow era. That, plus Cordell Volson and a former first-rounder, is improving mightily. We'll get to all of that and much, much more right now on End of the Jungle. Hi again, everyone, and welcome in to End of the Jungle. I'm James Rapine. He's Andrew Fox Miller. Make sure you catch us every single Tuesday at 8 Eastern, right here on the YouTube channel, Cincinnati Bengals Talk Weekly on FanDuel Sports Network. And it is about that time. About that time, Andrew. And what does that mean? Time for a garage beer. Today's show brought to you by Garage Beer. Let's get into this Alex Kappa news that broke on Monday morning. The Bengals moving on from the right guard. And they save $8 million in cap savings. Before we get to the what-if part of it, of the Alex Kappa era, this was one of those inevitable moves that the Bengals had to make. More moves certainly coming where they're going to have even more cap space, but certainly moving on from Alex Kappa was something we all saw coming.
This is just showing that the Bengals are obviously making space for free agency. What they do with it, of course, remains to be seen, but this is showing they're taking the matter seriously. We heard Duke Tobin, we heard Zach Taylor at the Combine talking about all this. The plan is in motion.
Alex Kappa was a really good free agent signing, and people are going to have revisionist history about it because he hasn't been the same guy over the past couple of years. In 2022, he was their best offensive lineman, and he injured his ankle in week 18 against the Ravens. I would have cut Alex Kappa too. I think we've known about it for months that they were going to, but he's one of the biggest what-ifs of the Joe Burrow era. Not the biggest, because I would go to Super Bowl 56 for that and say, man, if Quentin Spain knew how a double team worked with Aaron Donald, would that change things? If he could force him inside and have Trey Hopkins waiting on Aaron Donald right there, does Joe have the time he needs to bomb it to Jabbar? Anyways, that's the biggest what-if. The second biggest, or one of the other biggest what-ifs, is if Alex Kappa doesn't get hurt in 2022 and is starting at right guard for them, not just against the Ravens in that first playoff game, but against the Bills in Buffalo where they rolled the Bills, and then in the AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's the big one. Because you're dealing with Chris Jones, you're dealing with that front of Kansas City, and it was a game that went down to the wire. They were without three of their starting offensive linemen. Kappa was their best offensive lineman that year. And so I'm going to ask you, Andrew, if Alex Kappa hadn't gotten hurt, would the Bengals have won the Super Bowl that season?
So you call it a big what if, and I agree. I honestly hadn't thought about Kappa as a what if from that particular year, like as a major, like for, let's put it this way, that game, the Kansas City game championship, that will always be to me the coin flip game. That's the what if. Like, it's always been the, you know, what if the Bengals weren't forced to play their starters in week 18 against the Ravens that year? I'm thinking ahead now, Super Bowl. I don't know if they beat the Eagles that year. I think they could. They were on a 10 game win streak, like you said. Like, they lost to three by the Chiefs, like, and that was a, it was, you had mentioned the Bills game, decisive win over the Bills. That was a run. If Kappa remains anywhere near the same guard he was in 2022 moving forward, I mean, he'd still be on this team, of course.
For sure.
He was a great signing. Him and Karras, Ted Karras, both in that year. Man.
Yeah, and I'll say it. Yeah, they would have beat the Eagles. Yeah. This is the same team that had Jesse Bates and had Von Bell playing at a high level, and Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt were playing at a high level. You have to think of it that way. Like, it's this team, that team was the best team. That was better than the Super Bowl team. And they barely lost to the Chiefs team on the road without three of their starting linemen. That's insane to say out loud. And yet that's the reality of things. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge what if. And it's a huge what if in Alex Kappa's career. And hopefully he lands somewhere and is able to keep playing. But he wasn't the same guy after that. Outside of a few games in 2023, he started off slow and then really ramped up his form, I thought, right before the bye in 2023, and went into the bye kind of looking like he was going to be the same guy. And then he came back and that just wasn't it. And then obviously this past season he struggled. And it's just, it's a shame because it happened to him in his prime. And sometimes injuries happen like that, and you look at the guy and he looks the same number 65 on his jersey. And yet when he gets out there, the results are different. And that's what this Alex Kappa scenario is. And it just, it sucks because I agree with you. I think there, he was a good signing. And in a perfect world, you would find the next Alex Kappa. Maybe you want little differences in traits, but you would find a stabilizing right guard in free agency. And I think that's why they made the move this week, is because they know that they're going to sign a guard in free agency. And why not create the space now and be able to have that flexibility?
I hope you're right. Like we said, great signing at the time. I hope the lesson learned here for the front office is that investing a bit in your interior line is critical. I mean, you can't control injuries, especially when you need to play your starters, because the NFL rolls with some new rules on the fly and forces your starters to play week 18 of the regular season. But anyway, you can't control injuries, right? And the front office knows that, of course. But I hope they got a glimpse of what a strong interior line looked like in 2022, and hopefully want to restore that in 2025.
We got to stick with the offensive line. And from Alex Kappa to new offensive line coach Scott Peters, he had some interesting comments about Cordell Volson. Hear what Scott had to say coming up next, right here on Enter the Jungle. Welcome back to Enter the Jungle. He's Andrew Fox Miller. I'm James Erpine. Catch us every single Tuesday at 8 Eastern on the YouTube channel Cincinnati Bengals Talk Weekly on FanDuel Sports Network. And let's get into Cordell Volson. Still on the roster. Someone that I think regressed a little bit or didn't take the step forward that they were hoping he would in year three. Now you bring in Scott Peters. He's a technician. He's an offensive line coach that certainly wants to maximize what players like Cordell can do on this offensive line. Interesting comments from Scott Peters on Volson last week at the Combine.
He's played 3 years, right? Now 3 years as a starter. And, you know, I really like the kid coming out of college. He's a tough guy. He's big. He's physical. He's got length. I think just kind of helping him find ways to utilize his tools better is one of the areas of, and you can do that through drilling and kind of emphasis on certain things where we think we can help him. But yeah, I think there were some things where hand placement was something that was difficult. Some of the set angles just kind of having the ability to capture cloth with his hands, and it's something we put a big premium on. I had Cordell at the East-West game, and I was impressed with him when I was with the Browns. I thought, you know, I'd love to draft this guy because he had all the intangible things too. He's a tough kid, really loves the game. So just kind of helping him along in his career take the next step is the goal.
When you hear those comments, Andrew, what stands out? Because I think a lot of people heard that in the detail that Scott went into about Cordell, about hand placement, about his ability to improve, the fact that he coached him in the East-West Shrine game, all of those things. And it's like, oh, well, he really likes him. They're going to try to keep him around. Is that the vibe you're getting?
It's definitely the vibe I'm getting. Like Peters, he's been doing his homework with Volson. He's been catching up on the guy. Like he's been watching film on Volson. That's premeditation. That is, I'm going to work with this guy.
Yeah, for sure. And by the way, that has to be the mindset if you're the offensive line coach. I don't think that's necessarily determining or a sign that Volson is definitely going to be on the roster. And yet, it probably should be, at least at this stage, until they find a replacement. Unlike Kappa, if you're Volson and you're the Bengals, you don't want to move on from Volson before you have the plan in place. Unless it's a trade. And I mentioned that two weeks ago, right here on Cincinnati Bengals Talk, is, yeah, you can absolutely consider the trade route if you want to with a guy like Volson. He started a ton of games. He qualified for a playing time incentive bonus, essentially. His cap hit this year is $3.7 million. You could save $3.5 million with the trade or release. There's some reason to say, yeah, if he's going to be a backup, if he's going to be behind Cody Ford or coming off the bench, to move on from him. But you have to get to that point first. And I'm not sure they're there yet. Obviously, Ford is a free agent, and you have a guy in Volson who I think in an ideal world would be a backup. But are you paying $3.5 million for a backup? That's the hang-up for the Bengals that they're going to have to figure out in the coming days and weeks.
And that brings us right to what we're going to probably be talking about time and time again when it comes to the Bengals and free agency and re-signing guys and keeping guys. But they certainly can afford the $3.5 million. I don't know that that will ever be in question, regardless of the outcome of the draft, regardless of the outcome, of course, of free agency. I agree with you overall, you know, maybe training camp itself proves that he's decisively the starter in 2025. Maybe. I'm not betting on it, but maybe. And the real question is, and you alluded to right there, like, how confident are you in the Bengals finding an answer at left guard without, you know, if it's not Volson? I think I'm okay with a guy on essentially a contract year, on a rookie contract, that your new offensive line coach thinks maybe can work with. I'm okay with him even riding the bench and maybe getting a chance at development.
Yeah, I'm open to it. I'm not sure it's ideal.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Cordell works hard, has all the intangibles. I just at that price, can you get better value? And it stinks, but that's where we're at. I thought it would be the opposite. A year ago, I thought Cordell would take a step forward and we'd be talking about him potentially being an extension candidate. And he just didn't. And he gets benched and it just doesn't feel great. Now, could it change with Scott Peters? Absolutely. I think the Bengals will leave that door open. And there's a lot of different ways it could go when it comes to Cordell Volson and his future in Cincinnati. But I do think he'll be here at least initially. Now, if the right team comes calling for a trade, could that change? Absolutely. I think a lot of people will view his play in recent years and say that's a dream scenario. That's not going to happen. And if so, I think the Bengals will probably hold on to him maybe through training camp, make him win a job. Wouldn't be shocked there if they go that route to see if he does improve under Scott Peters. Time will certainly tell. Up next, the NFL Combine is in the books and multiple positions, tight ends and running backs, shined at the Combine. Would the Bengals consider a tight end or a running back in round one? That's next. Welcome back to Enter the Jungle. I'm James Rapine. He's Andrew Fox Miller. Let's get into this, Andrew. Let's just say the Bengals are on the clock, 17th overall in April in the 2025 NFL Draft. And they pass on your favorite defensive lineman, whoever it is, or an offensive lineman that could play guard. And they take Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty with the 17th overall pick. Or they take Penn State tight end Tyler Warren with the 17th overall pick. Or they take Michigan tight end Colston Loveland with the 17th overall pick. What would your reaction be?
Oh boy, here we go, James. Oh, here we go.
What would your reaction be?
Okay. If Gesicki isn't returning, like, I can understand best player available, Warren, Loveland on their board, and the Bengals taking a tight end. I could see that maybe happening, sure. But Jeanty, only a handful of running backs have been taken in the first round since 2020 or so. If the Bengals are taking an RB1, knowing there are running backs available on day two that could still be starters in the NFL, like knowing the repair needed on defense and the offensive line, drafting Jeanty would be something that would be, regardless, it would be something that would be heavily referenced and scrutinized until he proves he's a big factor in the team's success. Like, I don't even know what it would take, maybe like Jamar Chase levels of playmaking and difference making on the offense as a rookie. And even then, there's always the minority that will play the what if with like the Penei Sewell and you know, that they passed on. And I'm all about best player available. Don't get me wrong. I get it. And if that's truly the answer, I'm on board, but that's a tough one. That's a really tough one.
I think a lot of Bengals fans are with you, and so I'll make this declaration right now.
Okay.
There is not a scenario where if Ashton Jeanty is available at 17, he is not the best player available. There are zero scenarios. Zero. Right. He's probably a top three player in this draft, maybe top five. Like but he's awesome. And the reason I bring this up is so we can start this conversation now, because
you're preparing for me to cope.
Not just you, everyone, because like if the Bengals are truly going best player available, there are zero scenarios where if Jeanty makes it, because the odds of that happening are very slim anyway. Sure. He should probably go top 10, will likely go top 10. If he makes it to 17, that player that you were hoping was going to be there at 17 is either isn't there or has flags or is lower on the board, much lower on the board than Jeanty. And that's what I think is interesting. Now, you did mention the tight end element of this. And I disagree with you. I don't think Mike Gesicki has anything to do with what they should do in the first round. Zero. I don't think there's a factor there. I don't think it matters because you're talking about a wide receiver. Mike Gesicki's a wide receiver, baby. He's Tyler Boyd. He's insert whoever you want that plays the slot and kick outside some. What I like about Warren and Loveland is, one, Loveland had really good size, better size, I thought, when he was getting measured at the combine than people thought, just height, weight. But Warren's a really good blocker. People in the NFL think Loveland can be the next Sam Laporta. Freaking Tyler Warren was getting Jeremy Shockey comparisons. Like, that's really intriguing. And so here's what I would challenge. My challenge for the Bengals isn't, oh, we'll take one of these guys at 17, because that's not what I am. My motto is very simple. You draft players, not positions. And there are a lot of guys in the trenches that I would love at 17. But you can't just take a trench guy to take a trench guy. That's not what I'm in the business of. That's not what they should be in the business of. What free agency should do is it should set the table so they feel comfortable. I don't think Bengals fans will ever feel comfortable, most of them, with Ashton Jeanty at 17 overall. I just don't. I think they'll make the same faces that you do. They're like, oh, really?
I mean, yeah, like, yeah, really. I love it. We got a lot of work to do. It's that kind of reaction.
And so that work needs to be solidifying defensive tackle, defensive end, guard. So if that is the scenario that presents itself, and Colston Loveland is the top player on your board when you're there at pick 17, or it's Jeanty, or it's Warren, or it's insert whoever, that you can take them without saying, man, but we really need this. That's what, I never want to be in that scenario. Man, we really need this though. Like, that's the position you want to avoid. And that's what they need to do over the next few weeks.
I 100% agree with you. And of course, I wasn't in this exercise going into it thinking there wasn't, there was going to be a scenario where we had everything we needed locked in prior to, you know, day one of the NFL draft. Of course. I mean, you know, aside from quarterback, maybe that's the philosophy, I think, going into any round. Sure. Players, not positions. I get it. And man, oh man, this is going to be some free agency, James.
It is. And it needs to be. All of these middle tier guys that they hit on, the Mike Hiltons, the Chidobe Awuzies, even Trey Hendrickson to a large extent was considered a major risk when they did it. Now it was, you know, 4 years, $60 million is a steal for one of the top pass rushers. They didn't know he would be one of the top pass rushers. They were hoping. But a lot of teams in the NFL looked at that and they said, man, what an overpay, right? And making DJ Reader the highest paid nose tackle in the NFL at the time in 2020. Well, that's a middle tier guy that you were a bad football team and you had to pay that kind of number to get DJ to come here. You're not in that case anymore in that scenario. So can you get defensive tackles that are willing to come here? Absolutely. And I think that while this free agent class is lacking a lot of the big time guys, there are a lot of guys that could come in and play left guard, right guard, could play defensive tackle, defensive end, that will be upgrades. And so we'll see if they can get it to that point. That should be their goal. That doesn't mean that you don't take a defensive tackle or a defensive end. Then it'd be great if you could get some extra juice in the trenches after already addressing those spots in free agency to a place where you feel pretty good about, where you don't have to reach or push it in the first round of the draft.
You're speaking my language here. I agree. It's not going to line up that way, though. You know that, but let's be idealistic here. Okay,
why isn't it going to line up that way? That should be it. Why wouldn't it?
It should be. You could sit there and say the standard all you want. And expectations, I'm going to be in line with you on. Don't get me wrong. But I'm also going to go into this thinking we got some work to do. I hope I'm wrong. But until I'm proven otherwise.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, Duke, call me. Don't call Andrew. Up next, speaking of the first round, a former Bengals first round pick is making progress, baby. And I love to see it. We'll talk about Dax Hill coming up next. Welcome back to End of the Jungle. He's Andrew Fox Miller. I'm James Rapine. Anyone that watches Cincinnati Bengals Talk knows that I'm a big Dax Hill guy. I'm a believer in Dax Hill. And so last week, Andrew, when I saw this video on social media, it was just, oh man, I was in Indianapolis when he posted it. I'm like, oh, look at this. It's a beautiful sight. seeing Dax Hill on his surgically repaired right knee, hop one leg up on a box, making progress. It's exactly what you want to see from, man, he's only 24. The young Dax Hill, and I think he's got plenty of juice, is going to be a good player for a long time.
Of course I like what I'm seeing here. It doesn't look like a guy that's caught up and worrying about what's going to happen on, you know, the next episode of Severance. He's not binge watching shows on Netflix right now. This dude is putting in the work.
He's
If he had my whole regimen,
I need to give you more videos to edit.
That's exactly what I need. Like, let me ask you this though. Speaking of Dax, assuming everything's on the right track here, you know, Mike Hilton, cryptic message on social media, assuming Hilton's out the door in Cincinnati, of course, do we plan on Dax sliding into that role? Like, is this the redemption sort of move here, or what are we thinking?
I'd use him everywhere.
Of course.
I'd put him outside. No, I'm serious. I'd put him outside. I think he's their best outside corner. I also think he could play in the nickel. I also think you could have him blitz like Mike Hilton did. I would use him the way Lou should have used him 2 years ago or 3 years ago when he was drafted, all over the field. And I think one of my big combine takeaways, and we posted it on our YouTube channel, Cincinnati Bengals Talk, is Duke Tobin praising Dax Hill. So yeah, I think the front office is bullish on him. I don't know why Al Golden wouldn't be. Dax, get healthy, get right. You're going to make a huge impact in 2025. We're going to have you covered all free agency long, all off season long. So make sure you check us out, Cincinnati Bengals Talk on YouTube. For Andrew Fox Miller, I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for watching Enter the Jungle.
Cincinnati Bengals Talk brings you the latest from James Erpine and contributors at BengalsTalk.com. Check out Enter the Jungle Weekly with James and Andrew Fox Miller. You can rate and review this show wherever your podcasts are downloaded. And if you haven't already, check us out on YouTube, where you can get notified on the latest Bengals news and information. Read more at BengalsTalk.com.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.